You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Julian Warwicker with The World Today. With me throughout the programme, Nesrine Malik, a London-based commentator for The Guardian newspaper, and Patrick Basham, director of the Democracy Institute, a politically independent think tank based in Washington, D.C. Well, as the protests against President Hosni Mubarak continue in Egypt, we've some voices now that you probably won't have heard before.
The people are outraged. We have called a lot of people in a lot of the local rings, the people who are protecting their homes. A lot of people are now saying that they're going to split into two groups. One group will protect their homes. The second group will be taken to the streets again against Mubarak. So, unfortunately, President Mubarak's speech has inflamed people's passions even more.
The clashes are still going on. The people who are hired thugs or undercover police are attacking the square from all entrances to the square. They're clearly trying to drive us out of the square. People here are putting up resistance. They're fighting. They've put up erected barricades. Tens of injured every minute. Men, women, and children. People bleeding from their heads. People with broken limbs. People being carried on stretchers. There are ongoing clashes at the Egyptian Museum, by the Egyptian Museum. The anti-Mubarak protesters are putting up stiff resistance against hired thugs. Still attacking and attempting to storm Tahrir Square, to force the square.
It's great to know that we have support from all over the world. It's very encouraging. And obviously, we are very passionate about this revolution, and we're very excited, and we really want to bring freedom and democracy and basic human rights to Egypt.
Well, those were Egyptians contacted via their mobile phones, whose views were then aired on Twitter. The man who compiled them is John Scott Railton, who's a student at the University of Los Angeles, and he joins us on the line now. John, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. What gave you this idea? Because I understand that you hadn't been a Twitter user prior to events in Egypt. Is that right?
That's right. For several days after the protests began, I was a Twitter observer, watching the flood of information from Twitter. But it wasn't until the Egyptian government shut Twitter down that I began to wonder whether I had something that I could do.
And how much did you know Egypt? How many Egyptians were you in regular contact with prior to these events?
Well, I was in regular contact with some Egyptians. I had begun traveling to Egypt in 2006, and I had some pretty good networks, but this was an opportunity to reactivate many of them and form some new ones.
So give us a sense of the variety of people that you spoke to.
Well, I'd like to say all walks of life. I found that every person I talked to, even if I don't have, as just one human being, the ability to have a recording with them all, everyone wants to talk. And I think it testifies to the intense desire that Egyptians have to discuss with the world what it is that they're trying to do there.
So when you got through to people, you didn't get many people saying, no, I don't want to talk.
That's right.
And do you see this as your classic citizen journalism, if you like?
I don't know whether I consider myself a journalist, but I do have a great deal more respect for journalists now, trying to communicate accurate, relevant information fast. What I do think is it's a remarkable story about how a social media tool can take a person tens of thousands of miles away and turn them into a producer of information overnight.
John, stay there, because listening to you are both Patrick and Nesrine. Patrick, a thought on actually the role of social media in what's happened in Egypt.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to have played a considerable, perhaps the most influential part in encouraging the protesters, communicating with them and with the outside world, which is obviously, as one of the interviews suggested, being incredibly not just reassuring, but encouraging to those within Egypt. I wonder, however, the extent to which we can say, or maybe we shouldn't say, that this, that the social media is going to be as influential in other Middle Eastern countries. I tend to think it's a contextual thing, and that it's going to be a case-by-case basis, the influence of social media.
Nesrine.
Yes, I agree with Patrick. I think that I don't know how much influence it's going to have in other Arab countries. It definitely has had a big influence in Egypt. However, its main role, and I'm a big fan of Twitter, its main role has been to get the message to the